and hopefully this entire year I'm going to be preaching to you basically out of a 10 series basis that has more messages and more word than I can possibly ever bring to you. But I've taught you that beginning this year, God wants you and I to begin the year of recovery in our life. Recovery from things that we have lost, the things Satan has taken away from us, and the things that we don't even know that are ours yet to lay claim to. I was watching on television the other night, and the secretary of the treasurer, I think it's the treasurer's office in the state of Missouri, has a number that you can call. Have you seen that? And you might look that up online, because the state of Missouri has something like $180 million of your money that's in Jefferson City that's yours that you don't know you have. And you can look on this one site and put your name in, and it will very quickly tell you that you have $50 or $100, or it stops at $500, it says more than $500, treasures and all kinds of things. And so you may have, and don't laugh out loud when I say this, but you may have accidentally overpaid the government. Now you can laugh out loud. And if you have, there's a place where you can find where it is. But they have your money. I was looking this year, as I've been preaching, the year of recovery, and looking at the qualification factors that God puts on our lives that qualifies us for the blessing and the recovery that's ours to have. Many of you have listened to these 10 messages, and we're putting that series together, and very soon order we're going to have that 10 message series on the recovery of the believer for 2014 and continuing on with the year. But you're going to have an opportunity to get that and see. There are 10 areas that God spoke to me about, and the very first one started with personal purity, the importance to make sure our life is pure before God, the importance to understand the power of prayer, the understanding of commitment, what real commitment is to God, the power and the importance of understanding tithing. It's not just trying to get you to give money. It's to get you to understand that when you tithe what's God's, then you're surrendering your life to the complete will of God. And the act of tithing, not the amount, the act of tithing is the door that opens blessings into your life from God. Not only tithing, but the importance of limiting worldly influence in your life and becoming a spiritual influence to people around you. To understanding how important your relationship with the Holy Spirit is and how vital your relationship with the Holy Spirit is. And if there's anything in these series of messages that I've taught and that I understand, is how important and how absolutely, completely vital your relationship with the Holy Spirit is in your life. So if you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, or you have an idea who the Holy Spirit is, and don't understand that He is God, that He is the third member of the triune God, and He was sent on the mission of living and recovering mankind after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You see, when Jesus came to this earth in the flesh, He lived and walked among the people. And many of the people were what Nate was talking about this morning. He didn't have a political party He loved or hated. He didn't have a group of people, prostitutes that no one else would be with Jesus and solicited and brought them into the inner circle. Demon-possessed women, one by the name of Mary from Magdala, and Mary, we call her Mary Magdalene. She was seven demons, and He relieved her, and He delivered her of the demons. People that were full of the evil of the world and full of of sin and promiscuity and all the different things that would cause us to not want to associate with those people, Jesus brought them in. The politically rotten, the news commentators, the ones that sit on television and make derogatory statements about God and children of God and make fun of conservative values, he would reach out to them. He reached out to one by the name of Levi, who was as worldly and egotistical and crooked as a man could be. But he changed him and renamed him Matthew, and he became a follower of Jesus. He reached out to people that people hated, one by the name of Zacchaeus, and he led him to a relationship with him to the point that Zacchaeus said on the way to his house to have lunch with Jesus, after Jesus had come into his life and changed him and made him new, he made this statement. He said, half of all I give, half of all that I have, the 50% of everything I own, I'm giving to the poor. I'm going to give it back. But then he said, if there's anyone I've cheated, and when I read that, I always start laughing, because he was the master of cheating, and he used all kinds of tricks to cheat Jewish people out of their taxes to pay Rome and to have him have a high income. He said, I'm going to save half of what I've got, because if I have cheated anyone, I'm going to give them four times back what I've cheated them. Listen to me. He said this, I'm going bankrupt for Jesus. I'm giving away everything I have. Half immediately, he would find churches, synagogues, temples, poor people, beggars, and he would pay for their care and keeping. The other half, he found people that he knew he cheated on a regular basis, called them in for meetings, and they were thinking, oh no, here comes another slam, and here he has a tax refund that's four times what they're paying, and he admitted to them, I cheated you out of this $50 or $100 or $1,000, but I'm giving you $4,000 back because I've had an encounter with Jesus Christ and he has changed me and I have become reborn and rebirthed, and no longer do I work for and in the world. I am a born again believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus sealed that relationship with him. After he walked with him on earth, he was crucified and became the sacrifice that offered you freedom from what the devil tries to keep you in. Now, if you're one of two categories in the world, and there are two and possibly three, one category puts the devil as the persona of evil, that he's not a real individual, he represents evil, and that he has, and they dress him up with a red suit and horns and a forked tail and a pitchfork, and he walks around and they laugh at the possibility, admitting there's evil but not really paying attention to him. If you're tricked into believing that, you're naive to begin with. If you're one that know he's real and even indulge in relationship with him, which there are tens of millions around the world today that worship him as their God, then you know him as being a real figure and a real situation, a real person. And he is. He is a created individual by God. If you look at the historical account of Satan, the word Satan comes from a Hebrew word that means this. It means adversary, or if opponent. That's either your adversary or your opponent. I want you to think about who he is in relationship to you if you know Jesus. In the New Testament, when you find the word devil, it's a Greek word, and it means diablos, or if you read it another way, it's saying this when it's interpreted. It means the slanderer or the accuser. In fact, there are 15 different titles in the New Testament for the devil and for Satan, who's a very real individual. He is called the enemy, the evil one. He's called a liar and the father of all lies. He's called a murderer and a deceiver of the whole world, the great dragon and the ancient serpent. He's called the tempter. Listen to this, the prince of the power of the air. And maybe, and the most frightening name of all, he's called the destroyer. Satan is the source of all evil. He is the source of all falsehood. He is the source of all threats and fear that come into your life. And as a child of God, the very first thing we need to understand is he is, and he does have an enormous amount of power until you look at the power of God in relationship to Satan. What I'm here today to talk to you about is two things, and tonight, and this is why you need to be here. Today is, this morning is the informational part. Tonight is the instructional part. Tonight we're going to do things with what we learned today. But what you need to know, and what I'm going to teach you this morning, is the limits of Satan and the limits of God. That's the message this morning. The limits of Satan and the limits of God. The very greatest thing that we can find in Satan's interaction with mankind comes in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. It's also in the fourth chapter of Matthew. But in Luke chapter 4, the Bible tells us a story about Jesus and his sojourn on earth. You see, Jesus coming to earth was an important thing, and I want you to understand why. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, I'm going to read this to you. In Hebrews 2, 14, the Bible says, since the children, that's you and I, that know Jesus Christ. Now listen, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. This is saying that God came to earth and became flesh for you and I. Since the children had flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. Now, this is an incredible statement about Jesus and his mission. He came to earth, God came to earth, took on flesh like you and I, so we could know him. We could understand who he was. We could have relationship with him. And he came for another very important mission, so that by his death paid the ultimate price. If you don't know these basic things I'm telling you this morning, or if you've heard them and you go, yeah, yeah, give me something new, give me something exciting, give me something revelation that you've known. If you don't know what I'm teaching you this morning, you'll never know how to put Satan in his place. So listen carefully, maybe to something you think you know, and listen to what the Word's teaching you in the revelation of the Holy Spirit this morning. Jesus' mission was to come for this reason, that by his death, that means he paid the ultimate price that cannot be challenged. He sealed the power of the enemy with his blood. He took control back from this planet where Satan, the prince of the world, had been cast. In Isaiah, he says, I saw him fall like the morning star, and how that he was cast down to earth because he tried to touch the glory of God. In his attempt to touch the glory of God, Satan, Lucifer, the angel that led the worship in heaven, was cast down to this earth, and one-third of the angelic host with him. There was a battle, a war in heaven, and Michael, the archangel of God, fought against Satan, Lucifer, and demons, or that angels, that rebelled against God, and one-third of the angelic host came and were cast down to earth to be damned for eternity. And they went from the status of an angel to the status of a demon. So now you know how they came. He is the chief demon. There are demons that follow him. They have all kinds of ministries in their life because Satan, being created, has no creative mode. He doesn't have the ability to create. All Satan can do is copy and duplicate what God has already created. Also, Satan being created, he doesn't have the power to be in more than one place at one time. He is singular, and his demonic host are the ones that scout back to him with information and feed him with information. There's something else about Satan that you need to understand. Why Jesus came and lived with us, and why he died for us, and why he gave us freedom over the fear of death. This is the reason why. It's because Satan does not have the ability or the divine ability of God. Satan is singular. He's not omnipresent. He cannot be in one place more than one time. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. His spirit dwells in all existence. Satan is not omniscient. He cannot know your thoughts. So when you're afraid to think something that Satan's going to hear and know what you're thinking, you can relax. He does not have the ability to know your thoughts. He's not deity. He's a spirit being. So your thoughts are protected by God. You can muse on God. You can worship and praise God. Satan attempts to inject thoughts in your mind by temptation, by thoughts that he would try to bring into your mind, but he has no idea what you're thinking, and he can't. He's not God. He can only be at one place and have reports of other demonic activity given to him. He has no, then we're going to talk about today, his power. He is not omniscient, all-powerful. God is all-powerful. So when you become a child of God, this is what happens to you. Let me read it again. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives, listen to this, free those who all their lives have lived, or all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. So if you have had fear in your life, you see, free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. If you have had any kind of terror come to you that's in your life, you need to understand first, we identify that as from the devil, not from God. God, when we talk about fear in God, we're talking about an awesome respect for a loving God. When we talk about terror, we're talking about the range and the realm and the ability of Satan to try to destroy. He is known in this way. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. Three areas that Satan is known in your life. He is a liar and the father of all lies. The Bible says that when Satan speaks, that he's speaking lies, which is his native language. That's all he does. So he is an imposter trying to be something he's not, trying to enforce power that he doesn't have, trying to control something that he doesn't have control of. And if there's anything this morning that I'm going to try to convince you by the Word of God, is that you are not under the control of Satan in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He lost control of you when you accepted Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ came in you. The Holy Spirit indwelled you, and you became a son and a daughter of the Most High God with all the rights and privileges of bloodship that Jesus gave to us by his death. You do not have to live in the areas that you're living in. You do not have to bow to the things that you're bowing to. You do not have to be afraid of the things that you've been afraid of. If you're not a Christian here today, or you're someone who's putting on a front that says I am, but doesn't really serve Jesus, that you haven't really given your life to Christ, you're a phony. If you're here today, you have everything to fear. You have everything to dread. If you're not a Christian and proud to stand up and say, I'm not a Christian here today, you have everything to be fearful of, because you are either a child of God under the sonship, bought by Jesus Christ with his blood, and his blood flows through your veins, or you're still under the curse of Adam, which Satan controls, and you do not have the ability to step out of the control of Satan until you come to the relationship with Jesus Christ. My friends, let me tell you this, and let me make it clear to you. You can't live part and part. You can't live half and half. You can't be sometimes and not all the times. When you commit your life to Christ, that's why I'm telling you the year 2014 is so important for people that have made that decision to turn the corner and say, I'm removing things in my life that are not of God. I'm removing things in my life that are not righteous and not holy. I'm going to serve Jesus in totality. And when I do, it's not going to be a drudgery or a rule book that I'm following. I'm going to find out that the Holy Spirit of God in his indwelling power is going to start to strengthen me again and unite me again in revelation to God, and I'm going to have the joy of my salvation, and this book that's a rule book to the world is going to become the joy book and strength and power of my life. It comes from commitment. But look at the greatest example you can find in the scripture. The word of God talks about Jesus, his own encounter with the enemy. In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says this, that when Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, listen to this. Yes, you say, well, how did that work now? Just a second. He was the Son of God, and he relied on, it's talking about the humanity of Jesus, his flesh and blood. He came as a man. He was all man and all God. And in his humanity, he had to have or rely on the same power that you and I do. And I'm telling you that the totality of Jesus' relationship was strengthened and empowered by his relationship with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, chapter 4, verse 1, returned from the Jordan where he'd been baptized now with John. John saw him coming and he said, behold the Lamb of God who's coming to take away the sins of the world. I'm going to baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Here now, he's just come from this triumphal time of baptism and he's left the Jordan. And the Bible says he's full of the Holy Spirit. He returns from the Jordan and is led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads him into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. 40 days tempted by the devil. Now listen to this. The devil is called the tempter. It's one of the names. He's called the murderer and the destroyer and all the different names that I gave you. But here's what it says. He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. 40 days into this incredible situation of being tempted, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, listen to this. Now, let's get this right. Satan doesn't have the mind of God. He doesn't have relationship with God. These are things I'm telling you that are so important for you to understand how Satan is limited. Satan cannot pray. You can. I've told you about that. I ask you, what if you could not pray another prayer? What if you couldn't say another word to God and get a response again the rest of your life? What if you had no relationship with God, the Holy Ghost, and you didn't have any ability to communicate with God? That's what Satan is, and that's what he wants you to become. That's why he tries to remove your relationship with God. He has no ability to pray or to understand. Now, he knew in the heavens that there was rustling. He knew that the Holy Spirit ascended on Mary and planted the seed of deity in her, and that the Son of God was born of a virgin. He knew that he was the Son of God. He saw the power of God on him. He was there, and his imps were there, when they baptized Jesus and the Holy Spirit came and the very voice of God spoke and said, "This is my Son whom I love and I'm pleased with." He knew without a question in his mind that Jesus was the Son of God. There was no question. And he understood this, that in John chapter 1, he said, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus Christ," talking about him. And he said that the Word was with us and the Word was with God, and the Word created everything that's created. And if it hasn't been created, it's because he hasn't created. He's the creator. So Satan knew he was speaking to the creator. He knew it. Now let me ask you something. You think, well, Satan doesn't respect me very much because he comes to me and says, "If you were a Christian," you ever had him say that to you? "Or you're not a Christian, and this is a bunch of baloney." Satan goes, he's so brash, he has such incredible ego, he goes to the Son of God, the creator that created him, and said, "If you're that individual, if you are trying to plant doubt in the humanity of Jesus Christ, in the man Jesus Christ," he says to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." If he didn't know he could, why would he say it? He knew he could. But Jesus answered him and said, "It is written that man does not live on bread alone." Then the devil led him on a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. This is Satan's only habitation, this earth. This is why it's becoming increasingly more evil and more vile and more wicked. It's not a threat to you. You're not a child of the devil. You're a child of God. You're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're covered by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And when you live like it and commit your life like it, you have this incredible help of God that causes you to understand that you're not a child of the devil. You're a child of God. And when we understand the world is evil around us, it's not a threat to us. It's just a sign of the times. That's all. It's a sign of the times. When he led him to the highest place he could lead him, the pinnacle of the temple of all places, then he said to him, "I'll give you," listen to this, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to." Woo. All you have to do is worship me. He said this world, this temporary, changing sphere that's covered in the wickedness of Satan's kingdom, that's in a vacuum called time. Listen to this. Get this. This world is traveling in a vacuum called time. And eternity's out here. And this earth is in this bubble called time. And it's going through it. And you're on it. And you were born. And some of you know that it's been a while since you were born. But you're going to die, because the Bible says it's appointed to man wants to die, and after death the judgment. And this world, as we're riding on it, we're born, we live, we die, we go to heaven, or we go to an eternal hell lost without Christ. And the world keeps going, but even the world has a time put on it, because it won't be long until earth itself plunges through the vacuum or the bubble of time in back into eternity. And God says that he's going to destroy this earth that we're on and the heavens with fire and create a totally new heaven and a new earth in the book of Revelation that's sinless and without fault and without any of the inhabitants of Satan or his demonic forces. We're going to live in a perfect environment, but right now we live in a sinful environment. But it doesn't affect you and than I, because of the price Jesus paid. We're free from that. He offered him authority. Jesus didn't need authority. He had authority already. He offered him the authority of the world. If you'll worship me, it'll all be yours. And Jesus said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Listen to this. The devil led him from there to Jerusalem, and he stand on the highest point of the temple. And if you are the Son of God, he said again, throw yourself down, for it is written that he will give command of his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, that they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your feet against a stone. He misquoted the 91st Psalms. Satan is great at just changing scripture enough to make it work for him. And Jesus answered again and said, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished all the tempting, he left him until an opportune time, until another time. But the word of God says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside, and he taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. This is what I want to tell you about the devil. Now, let me just talk to you about the devil's power, the limits of Satan, and the limits of God. Satan has been limited by God to stay out of the controlling part of the life of a child of God. If you're not a Christian here today, none of this attains to you. You're in trouble. You're going to be led by Satan. You're going to be tricked by Satan. You can't outfox Satan. He will ultimately destroy you without Jesus. He'll destroy everything about you. You may live in the highest quality of the world. That may be his trick to send you to an eternal hell. You may live in abject poverty and miserable all of your life. Whatever he can do if you're not a child of God. But as a child of God, the fact that you are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have sonship in Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. And with being a child of God, you have all the rights and privileges of a child of God. So Satan's limits come to this point. Satan cannot cross the bloodline. It's impossible for him to cross the bloodline. He can't get to you. He can't control you. He doesn't have the authority to cause you to do anything in your life. But we don't understand that because we, not understanding Satan and his origin, not understanding Satan and his limited power, we give him, now listen to this. If you don't hear anything else today, listen to this. We give him authority that he doesn't have. Some of you have given things, areas, and authority to him that he has no ability, but Satan is an opportunist. What did he just say here? He was going to leave Jesus till he could come back for another opportune time, a better opportunity. He looks for opportunities in your life to grab and steal things from you that you don't understand that you have the authority to keep. And that you don't understand that you have the authority to hold on to, that he doesn't have the authority. Now I'm going to read a little bit of writing that the Lord gave me this morning in preparation for tonight, because tonight we're going to take the authority away from the enemy. And if you're here today and in any kind of fear, any kind of loss, any kind of circumstances that's in your life that the devil has taken, even the ones you're not aware of that he's taken from you, tonight we're going to put the practical application to this message, and you're going to recover what Satan has taken from you. Listen to this and think about these words. What is it that you have unknowingly given Satan victory over, Or what is it that you have flown the white flag of surrender, not knowing you hold the ability to win the fight that you've let Satan have? When you come to your heavenly Father, now think about this. When you come to your heavenly Father with needs and desires and ask him for help, you come humbly and with worship and with thanksgiving. However, when you approach the battle lines to face the lying enemy of God, you should come mad at the devil. Now I'm going to tell you something Smith Wigglesworth said. That great preacher of the 19th century said this. Smith Wigglesworth said that you cannot get in a fight with the devil and take back what Satan has taken from you until you get mad at the devil. What's a good funeral home song? It's awfully quiet in here. How many say amen to what I'm saying? Well, I don't know about now. I don't know if I want to get mad at the, you know. I'm not looking for, I don't know. That's fear. Let's identify what it is. You fear God, you do not fear Satan. Are you listening? You fear God, you do not fear the devil. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, he's got power. Yes, he does, but not over the blood. Not over the blood. Not only not over the sonship that you have in Jesus Christ. He does not have power. He's limited. When you approach the battle lines to face the lying enemy of God, you should come mad at the devil. Think about it. When you've been duped, you ever been duped in your life? If you had, say amen. You ever been tricked? If you've ever been tricked, say amen. Have you ever been led to believe something that isn't true and you've been lied to? If you have, say amen. Listen to this and think about it. When you've been duped, when you've been tricked, when you've been led to believe that the threats that you're living under as the power is, listen to this, that the threats that you're living under is the power that you have already defeated. When you understand Satan's limits, you're going to understand that the threats that you're living under is actually the power of God over what you've already defeated. You should be mad when and at the devil for what he's taken and what he's trying to take, what he's stolen in areas that you don't make. If it was in any other case in your life, if someone had called you on the phone and duped you out of $100 or tricked you out of this or lied to you about that, you'd get mad about it, wouldn't you? But we don't get mad at the devil because of fear. I want to remove that fear today. Jesus said that he came and gave his life. He paid with his blood so you don't have to fear the devil any longer. That you can approach him. That you can face him, not in arrogance, but you can face him with the power and the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ and come against the enemy that's already been defeated through the power of God in your life, and you can take back what Satan has taken from you. Let me read more. Righteous anger for what you have lost or given up to Satan. That's one of the reasons you should be mad with righteous anger. Righteous anger is also living beneath the level of blessing. Beneath the level of deliverance and provision that's always been yours in the first place. Listen closely, he only has as much power as he is given. Are you listening today? You're going to need this tomorrow. You're going to need this in the battle of life. Satan only has as much power as he is given and as much authority as we allow him to have. God has restricted and restrained him. You have the word. You have the blood of Jesus Christ. You have the sonship of Jesus Christ, and you have the authority of God in your life over the enemy completely. You don't have to constantly tell the devil that Jesus has defeated him. He knows it. He's aware of it. Sometimes our approach to the enemy comes in fear. Now, you know God's beat you. You know that you're under my feet. You know, Satan, that Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You know these things. Like, we're trying to convince ourselves. My friends, I don't have to tell him what he knows. He knows Jesus won and he lost. He knows the blood is more powerful. He knows there's no power against the name of Jesus Christ and the word of God in the mouth of a believer. He knows it already. It's when we start knowing it that makes the difference. Defeating Satan is not a matter of spiritual superiority or a religious ego that toys with the devil. No. When the schemes and attacks and temptations thrown at you from Satan comes, it's vital for you to know that your consistent power over the devil is in you by virtue of being a son and a daughter of Jesus Christ. It's in you. You've got the authority, you've got the power, you've got the ability. Satan has as much control as you allow him. Are you listening? We do not stand with a snarly, ego-taunting Satan into a showdown, no. We stand in thanksgiving, and we stand in awe, and we stand in worship of God, who through our Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this, has extended to us his unlimited and eternal authority over sin and death and hell, the grave, and Satan and all of his hideous followers. God extended the authority of heaven to you when you became a child of God. That's why we use the name of Jesus. That's why the name of Jesus represents everything. He is God. That's why when we come against the devil, we don't come trying to convince him of what he already knows. He's the one that had the keys taken from him. He's the one that had hell taken from him, the power of hell. He's the one that had death removed from him. He knows he's defeated. He is trying to keep you from knowing that he's defeated. And my friends, when you get this in you and you start understanding that the limits of Satan lines have been drawn by the blood of Jesus and the limits of God. My friends, listen to think about this. You say, oh, God doesn't have any limits. You misunderstand the definition of what I'm saying. I'm saying that God has limits that he has placed on the devil. He's held him. He's captivated him. He's destroyed his power. And the only authority and power Satan has any over anyone are those who don't know Jesus Christ. But if you're in that group this morning, it says, Pastor, in 2014, I'm a comeback kid. I'm going to get back in where I should, doing what I should do, acting the way and living the way I should do. And the power of God is going to start blessing me because God said it's time for the church to start taking back what the enemy has stolen from me. And there's areas I don't even know about, and there's areas that I am conscious of, but I'm ready to take back what the enemy's taken. And I'm just finding out this morning that Satan can't stop me from it. He can't keep me from it. He can't prevent me because I have a power in me extended from the deity of the Almighty God in me, the authority to come against the enemy and say, in the name above every name, the most precious name ever uttered, in the power and the authority of heaven itself, in Jesus' name, I come against you. And he must flee. The Bible says when we resist the devil, that he must flee. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Some of you have suffered too long and too hard and too much. You've lived without when you had it. You've gone without when it was there. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about confidence and courage. I'm talking about not living in the protective custody that Psalms 91 really says when he says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it goes on to tell you the provisions of the child of God. That's yours today. And you need to understand that Satan and all the demons and hell cannot prevent you. They can't instruct you. They can't coach you. They can't counsel you. They cannot take anything from you. It's yours. And inside you, when you begin the communion with God through the power of Jesus' name, to understand what you have and who you are, then the take back, the recovery is going to start. And tonight, my friends, I don't care if you have to cancel something. Tonight, we're going to start taking back what the enemy has taken. This is going to be a night where if you haven't had sleepless nights, you're going to start sleeping. This is going to be a night after tonight. If you haven't had joyful days, you're going to have joy. If you fought the battle of finances, God's going to take care of you. If you've come against battles at your work and in your home and in your relationships, this is a night that's going to start a recovery in your life that God's going to do, and he's going to give back to you because you are understanding now the limits of Satan and the limits of God. God has placed limits on him. All through the word we see it. And he will not let him cross those boundaries. And you're outside of those boundaries, protected by the hand of God. Tonight we're going to come and bless, break those chains that have, those lies that have come against you today. On the way down here this morning, I prayed for a lady who has Lou Gehrig's disease. You've heard me talk about her. She's a famous singer. She's part of the Spear family, Faye Spear. Her voice is getting weaker every day. She knows that she's going to go to heaven to be with Jesus. If it's through Lou Gehrig's or if it's through long life, she knows that she's going to go, and she allowed fear to come into her life. Last week on the way to church, remember we prayed. She said, Sam, pray for me, whatever you do. Pray for me that fear doesn't come in. I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm not afraid of death. She said, I'm just afraid of what this disease may do. But death holds no fear for me. I know where I'm going. And I saw the slithering hand of the wicked come in to a child of God and try to steal their joy. I'm not going to ask you this morning, I'm going to ask you tonight, how many in this room today has Satan stolen your joy? Your joy. You say, oh, I'm happy. You don't know what happy is. You haven't been belly laughing and happy and joyful like a kid in so many years. You don't know, because it's crept up on you and got in you. And now you just think you're solemn and mature in God. The fact is that you need the joy of your salvation restored and happy again because you're redeemed. My friends, listen to me. I'm going to show you something tonight. It's so powerful because when you come to Jesus, you're in the process of being eternally saved as long as you live on this earth. But there's one thing that I'm going to show you tonight that you're going to realize. When you come to Jesus, you're instantly redeemed. You're redeemed right there. And with the redemption comes all the rights and privileges and power of a child of God. And you have authority you're not using. Tonight you're going to get that, but this morning I just wonder how many Satan stolen your joy.